Everybody, tune in to episode number 492, where Eric and Dor talk about their most essential and necessary apps. Hey everybody, welcome to Android App Addicts. Thank you for listening today. It's going to be the manager and the door-to-door geek. Two time in it this time. Mark's on holiday. And
if you want to call it a holiday when a elderly woman cuts in front of you to the point to where you can't brake fast enough to hit her, and you hit her, and you hit her enough to push her into another vehicle.
Oh no, really?
Yes, another. He is in a horrible driving area.
True. Yeah, he does. Yeah, there's bad traffic there. But you guys are just reckless behind the wheel.
I'm talking about, I've been rear-ended like four times.
Right.
How am I reckless?
Well, you're not accelerating to get out of the way.
I'd hit the person in front of me, which I would think would be even more reckless.
I don't know, you guys.
Well, I'm on extremely old infrastructure. The roads and bridges are extremely old. There's not enough lanes, blah, 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 blah. But it also doesn't help that people are idiots and can't drive, just in general.
Yeah, I think
Mark's,
I'm spoiled out here. We got more space to get away from the idiots, I think.
Well, and there's just less of them.
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I guess in population density, you're right.
Right. And with Mark, he's in an extreme population center where the percentage of the raw number of idiots per cubic mile, for instance, or square mile in this case, has to be astronomical.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. This is the hardest working Android App Addict show in the world. I don't know if there are how many more Android app shows there are in the world, but no, there's a couple. There's a couple. They don't work as hard as we do, though. Okay, so anyway, I'm gonna say this episode is gonna be a little bit different because we're gonna just do our essential apps. We do this every year or so, and this is the apps that if you got a new Pixel 2 weeks ago. These are the apps that would be installed on it by now when you remembered all the things you forgot you needed on your phone. They should all be there within 2 weeks. And so that's my situation. So it's easy. It's an easy show for me to bring these apps. Doors probably hasn't done a factory reset on his phone for a while. So I guess he's got to do some going through the muck to drain the swamp of great apps.
Well, it doesn't matter. Even if I do a hard reset within 36 hours, I have virtually everything reloaded back on my phone again. Number one. Number two, I always used to state that every Android owner, every 6 to 8 months, maybe 12 months, you should do some sort of reset on your device and start over just for cleanliness sake. This is now the 14th month, I believe, I've had this phone, and I haven't had to reset it once.
Yeah, it feels like it's less necessary to do that. I don't know if it's the upgrades over the series of letters that Google's done, and they do a better job of putting the ones away and you know, not letting apps that aren't being used take up memory or something. But I agree. I think you can go a lot longer without having to reset it. And we're not rooting in ramen anymore, so.
Right. Well, and I'll say it is definitely not because I've lessened my Android activity. If anything, it's went up substantially.
Yeah, so I don't usually just, when I upgrade my phone to another phone, or if I do a factory reset for whatever reason, I don't usually go ahead and just say, hey, bring all my apps back.
Same here.
I do the selective, you know.
I do a interactive restore, which is I never let it restore on its own. I instead, before I do the backup, I open up AppDragon, click email, and it sends a complete list of every app name plus hyperlink in the email to myself. Once I'm done, I log back in, say, don't restore, go through that email and just scroll down and click what I want installed. And it's typically 60%+ of all the apps I already had installed.
Yeah. You know, and see, AppDragon must be an essential app for you, right?
It has to be. The real use case for it is whenever somebody says, hey, Dor, what's that app you mentioned? What turns out to be 5 months ago that you said you could take voice notes, but then like the voice mic would stay open and it didn't close. So if you took a long pause, you didn't have to worry about it kind of thing. And it's like, what? So it's very nice that I can find the app, have it, oh, I already have it installed. Just go to AppDragon, click the icon, click copy. When I go to paste, it says the full app name followed by the hyperlink, and voila, there's all the information you need.
Nice. That's great. Is that an app that, I don't even remember that app. Is that an app?
Yes. And literally two people in the last couple weeks asked me for a better voice dictation app. This is called Speech Notes, S-P-E-C-H-N-O-T-E-S, all one word. It has like a weird red and white icon. But AppDragon is definitely a must-install app, I will say. We're also going to have, besides just must-install apps, I think we're also going to have on this show a little bit of like yearly roundup. Like what happened in hardware, what didn't happen in hardware, what's dying on the vine, you know, what's awesome.
What can't we wait everything. For, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So speaking of hardware, do you have any hardware news this week?
I really don't have any updates. I will say I've had two people in the last 3 weeks ask me just straight up, if I had to buy a phone right now, what would I buy? But they both know me, and they both said they knew I wouldn't say just one phone.
No, Dave.
Hells to no. You must be high, brother. You know, you ain't supposed to do that kind of stuff.
I know. You're not a big fan of Samsung.
No, I never have. I've owned two of them, and they were by far the worst phones I've ever owned. Highly governed phones, aka certain things were intentionally slowed down for what I consider to be no reason except for the illusion of everything running about the same speed, so it'll be hard to perceive slowdown. Basically, reinforcing cognitive bias and doing a little social engineering on their users, in my experience. But the top two phones, I'm going to say, is the OnePlus 5 or the OnePlus 5T.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was, I want to say, it wasn't the Essential phone. I'm trying to, it must not have been a close number two then, if I can't remember what the hell it was.
I would, might have been. Can I guess?
Yeah.
The Razer phone.
Hell's no.
What?
Because there's nothing spectacular about it.
That would be battery life. That's the biggest battery you can get.
No, not even close. I can get bigger, brother.
Can you? All right. Well,
I can easily get bigger, in fact. The Asus Zenfone 3 Max is a bigger battery. The ZTE Z Max or X Max, one of them also has a bigger battery.
Are those nice phones, though, on top of the battery?
Sure, but it all depends on how you define nice. Every phone has shortcomings. There's no such thing as a perfect phone.
No.
Let's just get that out.
I think if somebody asked me that, I would say the Razer. It depends. I guess it depends on their price range, though, really. I mean,
well, my price range is, I'm a normal person. I'm not ever going to spend $700+ on a phone.
Well, okay. So I have a Pixel 2, manufacturer suggested retail price of $650, right?
I thought it was higher than that, but okay.
No, $650. And I did get confirmation that Google gave me $405 for my Pixel XL on trade-in. So that helps. Plus, I got $100 off and a free Google Home Mini.
Right. Well, you worked the deal. You, in true car salesman type fashion, you did everything right, Eric. And I believe your overall actual investment to that phone is going to come out to less than $350, if I'm not mistaken.
It'll be, yes, it'll be more than $350. It'll be $400. No, $250. Yeah, it's probably around four, I guess, because I paid two. What the hell? I don't remember what I paid. I paid $200. I can't remember what I paid for the XL used. I think I paid $250.
I want to say. See, I wasn't sure if it was $150 or $250. I was thinking $150. I know you got two phones at a really good price, and I thought that was one of them. But either way, you pulled off a good deal. You did not pay full factory, period.
Right. Yeah. So that was the thing. And I was a little leery because I have returned a number of Google phones since I've been on Project Fi for them locking up, black screen of death or whatever. And it's not like I did anything other than a reset. To instigate them. It seems like every time I did it, I was resetting it, but it wasn't because I had updated firmware on it or anything like that. It's just they just break. So this way I've got a 3-year warranty, or 2-year warranty against breakage, 3 years of guaranteed upgrades.
Then right. And here's what I'll say about whatever my next phone is going to be. It's going to be something like a Asus Zenfone, something like a OnePlus, or something like an Honor device, because these are nothing like any phone you can walk into any store in the U.S. and get a phone from the carrier. These phones assume you to be much more of an administrator. These phones assume you have much more of a brain. These phones allow you to actively or passively block applications from Wi-Fi, block applications from mobile networks, or kill a app when you close your screen. There's no phone you can buy inside of any U.S. carrier that gives you any of those freedoms, as I see them, right out of the box. You have to install third-party apps, which means you either have to root your device or you have to accept less power out of the app because it cannot do what it needs to do. I am the guy who screamed on this show for years about rooting your device, own your device, be the admin, control your device, don't let it control you. I don't even need root on this phone. On my Zen phone, I didn't even need root. On my OnePlus One, I didn't even need root because these phones assume you're an administrator and they assume you're not an idiot. So my next phone, it was one of the honors, I want to say, was a possible next phone, but it was too much money. The Mi Mix 2, which is the bezel-less phone with the little bezel at the bottom, but it's too much money right now up front. So it would probably have been either a used OnePlus 5 or a OnePlus 5T, but I'm so cheap.
Yeah.
It probably, I mean, I don't see ever buying anything new ever again. I see buying everything off of Swappa at reasonable rates.
And one of the phones I bought off of Swappa. Honestly, though, I think I got the better deals locally than I did. Swappa was the most expensive one for what it was, I guess. You know, it wasn't quite the deal, but it was a fair trade for both of us, the buyer and the seller.
Yeah, but it's also not going to die after a week when you buy off of Swappa.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the one thing I can assure anyone of. And if it does die after a week, you contact Swappa, you'll get your money back. Period. Now, if they see a huge crack in the screen or something, you're not getting your money back.
Right.
I mean, kind of thing. Because Swappa is eBay for classy people, is the way I put it.
I did get a new Christmas wrap. Present. Yeah. Slick wraps instead of D-brand. Same 3M material or whatever. But
right.
The thing is, it was supposed to come with instructions on how to put it on. It didn't, but I think I figured it out. You know, it wasn't. But it's supposed to also have white at the bottom here, and it didn't come with that.
None.
So, it come with a logo that's orange for the Google.
Eh,
I don't know.
That's a good color.
It's all right.
Yeah, as long as the white color doesn't scuff and turn gray, you're okay.
Yeah, I'd really like to get a bumper case for it. And it seems like there's only like one bumper case for it out there. I should look on eBay or somewhere. Maybe Alibaba or something. One. That's true. I could. I might do that.
TPU is the key. TPU, which I can never remember what the acronym is a substance that, when printed with low density, is unbelievably sponge-like, and with high density, is firm yet still very forgiving.
That's basically the ones you buy are all made out of TPU.
That's what I believe, but me no expert.
I don't know what it stands for.
Okay, now really quick hardware question then. Was there anything you think that you were looking forward to this past year that did happen or didn't happen? Like, were any hopes and dreams answered? Because I can tell you the only hardware thing that I foresaw did come to fruition that I can think of.
Well, I was hoping Google would come out with an Nexus 7 tablet or some kind of a tablet, and that didn't happen. So that's... I'd say that's probably my biggest disappointment. It'd be nice if they came out with a $100 to $200 tablet again that ran well. You know, the Nexus 7 from 2014 is still a decent thing, and if they would have came out with one in 2017 in the last three more years, that's pretty good. I wish they would have done that.
Well, I'm just going to ask you, moving forward, please don't hold your breath waiting for another one, because I'm 99.999% sure you're only going to get extremely high-end tablets, like $400, $500 tablets, and then the Amazon $40, $50 tablets, and nothing in the middle. Because to me, the best thing about the Nexus 7 was bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't overly expensive, and the performance you got was unbelievably rock solid.
Right, yeah. And Amazon is filling the low end with something decent at least now, where it used to be for the price range of the Amazon Fire HDs, you used to just get pure junk, you know. So I'm glad that they're filling that void with something decent, but it's not normal. It's not like the same Android you're going to have on your phone, so not everything, you know. It's nice to have kind of the same, cohesive experience on device to device to device, I think.
Right.
And I think that's why Samsung tablets are probably a lot like Samsung phones. The Nexus tablet was just like using a Nexus phone, minus the wireless carrier radio in it.
Right.
But I guess if Amazon comes with an Amazon phone, they'd probably, throw the Fire OS on that again. But I don't see that happening.
I will say never count Amazon out from bringing another phone, only because realistically they should have learned a lot from the first phone. And with Jeff Bezos, it's too easy to think you're smarter than him, but then you got to remember he's kind of like the richest guy right now. So he knows something that we don't.
I would never think I'm smarter than Jeff Bezos.
Maybe better looking, but not smart.
I was just reminiscing today. The first time I ever learned about Amazon was I knew a guy who had a book for sale on Amazon, and he told me about He told me about Amazon at that time, and that was probably 1993 or four, sometime way early. Gotcha. No, it was probably maybe a little later, a couple years later than that, maybe. But
yeah, the only two phone prediction things that I think I got kind of right, and I'm pretty sure I kind of made this clear last year, was one. RAM is getting phenomenal in these phones. We're getting now 8 gig phones with 8 frigging gigs of RAM. I said it once. I've said it probably a sickening number of times to the people who listen to this show a lot, like the Rhino. And that is, Android is Java. No matter what they say, if it's running Java-like code in an emulation layer, that's Java. Java is a virtual machine, which means it puts everything in RAM. Android loves RAM. The more RAM, the better the RAM. The faster the RAM, the faster your experience. Android always wants more RAM, period. So 8 gig phones, yes. Now, the only problem is when you get above 4 gigs of phones, the OS has to be tweaked and the hardware has to be optimized in order to handle that level. You can't just throw more RAM at it and everything will work perfect. And from what I've seen, hardware manufacturers have made 6 gig plus phones, which are running spectacular. And it's only going to become more. We are soon going to have 10 gig phones. It's only a matter of time. Mm-hmm. And they're only going to run better. And the only other prediction I made was how, what's the word I'm looking for? Impotent Daydream has actually turned out to be. It was launched over a year ago, November 10th, 2016. We've had at least 70 phones launch since then. And we have, I want to say, less than 12 phones that actually support Daydream. Pixel 2, Galaxy 8S, S8 Plus, Zenfone AR, the V30 from LG, Galaxy Note 8, Moto Z Force 2, Pixel, Axon 7, Moto Z, Moto Z Force, Mate 9, and Porsche. That's it. I just named every phone that truly supports Daydream.
Porsche.
And it is Porsche Design Mate 9 from Huawei.
Oh.
So either they're going to have to come out with specialized hardware that is Daydream itself and without a stupid fabric thing. Because day one, I said how stupid fabric was. Nobody else that I heard said that. Now, almost a year later, we're hearing everybody on the journals of a podcast where they're all journalists saying how it gets sticky and it stinks. Really? I wonder why. Maybe because it's fabric and it's sweat. One of the dumbest ideas ever. And I'm sure it's a great experience. Caleb Faltz ridicules me for how stupid I am for not being in on Daydream. Well, dude, I don't even have a Daydream compatible phone. Oh, wait, I don't want a Daydream compatible phone because I want battery life, which forks me into this year's prediction. We're going to see a girth of phones. We're going to see phones separate into two different types. It's not screen size. It isn't audio jack. It isn't RAM. It isn't network speed. It isn't how thick it is. It ain't battery size. The thing that's going to start to separate phones out is lower res screens with crazy battery life and higher res screens with horrible battery life, like what we're used to when you can't even go 12 hours without charging your phone. So I think we're going to see a diversion. Now, of course, the lower priced phones are going to be the lower resolution phones, but we're going to soon have normal phones on the market that easily get a day charge. And that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that to happen before the end of 2018. And the people who insist on higher res, like the Razer phones or the S8 Plus, and you want to run Daydream, you're going to still have that available to you. But because of those extremely limited number of phones, do not expect developers to come out with top-notch Daydream apps. developers go where the money is, like the Nintendo Switch, not Daydream.
Yeah, I'd like to get my hands on Daydream to see what it's like. I have dabbled in, you know, the VR headsets of all types, from the Samsung Gear to just the generic cardboard pieces and every plastic one you can imagine. If the phone is Daydream compatible, it's not going to hurt your battery if you don't use Daydream.
No, but you're going to have a higher resolution. And the question is in the settings, can you turn it down? Because if you can't turn it down, you're going to have 8 to 10 hour battery life if you use your phone normally, which I think is going to turn a lot of people off.
What about a high-end phone in specs with a purposely lower resolution screen? Say, hey, I'm never going to do VR, but take less pixels to fire up.
The Razer phone has 3 different resolution options and I believe 3 different refresh rate options. If you turn both of those options down all the way, I believe you could have an easily 1+ day of power.
Yeah, I would think you'd like that phone. It's a monolithic just chunk of square 90 degree angles. It does have big, nice front facing speakers to blast Voxer messages at you, stuff like that.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's sexy. It is quite sexy. But it ain't going to sell, which means it ain't going to be supported, which means in a year, we don't even know if they're going to make another one. I thrive at this stage of my life called old age, because I'm 45 years old now. Stability. I want to be able to pick up my phone and know it's going to work how I expect it to work. With the Honor phones, with the OnePlus phones, I never have to worry about nothing. And this past week, we heard news on the Apple front, how Apple, what everyone suspected of, is actually purposefully slowing down older phones based upon the number of times you've charged your phone, I believe it is. So this is not some conspiracy. This is not, you know, there's whatever in the drinking water, this man's out to get me, the government's against us. No, no, this is real. Apple is purposefully slowing down their devices over time. And there's one constant we've seen in this universe is Samsung copies Apple. So expect to hear that about Samsung here in probably less than a year, because they do everything Apple does. Come on. Am I wrong?
I don't know. I mean, I think they go and fork and do their own thing a lot when Apple should maybe follow them sometimes.
Oh, I do agree. Nobody is leading the pack. It's a definite back and forth. And Samsung and Apple are the two heavy hitters, the two big contenders right now. And I don't like heavy hitters. I like underdogs. So that's one of the reasons I don't like either one of them. But I want a manufacturer that needs my business more than a manufacturer that expects to get my business. And from everything I can gather, Samsung just expects to get high numbers of sales. I would rather support somebody like Honor, somebody like OnePlus, somebody who actually each sale means something to them.
I mean, those brands and phones are fine. It's going to be hard. It's hard to sell them when you can't go into a store and see it sitting there. You go into a store not biased by any and know nothing about the companies, and you look at a Samsung Note 8, it's pretty. I mean, the screen just pops. It's really just, it's like, wow, I can actually hold that in my hand. That's pretty beautiful.
But I'm near an anarchist. I walk into the building. My first thought is, I want to burn this place down. Because if I spend a dime in here, I'm paying for the ground rent. I'm paying for the insurance. I'm paying for the employee. I'm paying for the lighting. I'm paying for the parking. I'm paying for the security. I'm paying for the corporate. I'm paying for the corporate CEO paycheck. I'm paying all the stuff. What am I paying for?
Well, pretty soon, it depends on how long you stay in there. You'll be paying for them to take your name, and you just stand or sit until they call you.
Oh my God, carrier stores. The shortest I've ever had to wait is about an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's miserable. I mean,
it is worse than Comcast. It's worse than going into a Comcast facility. And I don't understand America's psyche of affixing a status symbol with these things so high that they'll put up with 2+ hours in a Verizon or an AT&T store and think it's okay. If you had to wait 2 hours for a pizza from Little Caesars, you would walk out.
I don't think people realize there's alternatives.
Well,
I mean, I talk to a lot of people who've never heard of Project Fi still, and that I order my phones through the mail and talk to humans online or on a phone call within minutes, and I never have to wait in line. I never have to go and complain about my bill. I never have mess ups. I never have to... I'd love it. I mean, I have went into, we've got a Verizon store. It's a decent Verizon store. If you want to buy a $6 case for $35, that's definitely the place to go. Exact same brands that you're going to find for $6 on Amazon or, you know, other places.
Yeah, I think it's partial a mental holdover, if you will, from the cable companies. People are used to being treated bad. And this is just another form of internet access. So I guess people assume being treated bad is the normal. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't want to say I preach to people, but every opportunity I have, I lightly educate people on there's plenty of choices. Now when you're on Verizon, sorry, you don't have a choice. You have to buy a phone from Verizon, but you don't have to pay full price. You can go online. You can buy one at a discount and it's a fine device. Just be warned. You can only put Verizon authorized phones on Verizon. If you put something else on and it works, guess what? It might stop working in a day. It might stop working in a week. It might stop working in a year, but it will stop working.
Project Fi is one disruptive thing about that. You can buy a Verizon phone and take it to Project Fi.
Oh, yeah. Same thing. You can buy certain iPhones, I want to say, off of Verizon, and they run on everything, I thought.
Probably not Project Fi. You're still going to have to buy a, it's got, still going to be a Pixel or one version of a Moto. Anyway, yeah, I just don't think people know.
Well, and I'll say part of the problem is these carriers, T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon, they have so much money, they control the marketing infrastructure for this. Marketing is eyeballs. Eyeballs is reality. What people see is what they believe is real, and that's all they see, so that's all they know. It's going to take Google to lose money in advertising, lose a lot of money, and do a lot of advertising to even make a dent in anything, much less being able to buy your phones overseas. Oh, there's no way Swappa, GearBest, or anybody could afford enough of a budget to actually make a dent in U.S. sales. I would like to believe that with my OnePlus phone or my Honor phone, when a family relative sees it and I tell them what it is, they're actually interested enough to go look for themselves. But, you know, the average American intelligence means that's the average. It means like half the people are less than that. And I'm pretty sure I'm related to most of them. Just saying.
Well, I have seen one other Pixel in the wild in my town. So that's a good thing. That's one out of, that's two in 9266.
Gotcha. So do you have any more, you have any predictions for 2018?
Predictions. I don't think Google Home's going to do anything different, or Google Home is going to do much different. They've come out with the Max now, which looks and seems, you know, from the reviews I've watched on YouTube and read, it seems like it's a pretty decent device. $400 for a speaker is a bit much, though.
Oh yeah.
I think all those devices like that are going to get smarter, along with our assistant on our phone is going to get smarter. I don't think I use it as much as I probably should or probably thought that I would yet. There's not a super, I mean, maybe once I start adding more smart devices and IoT items into my house, it'll probably make more sense. If I can just squeeze the sides of my phone and say, open the garage door, things like that would be nice.
Right. Well, there's two things I'll say about assistant type technology. The first, I ask people, don't overreact to the first thing I say, because most people who like other systems tend to overreact when I say this first thing. In the sense of raw amounts of data coming into their infrastructure, nobody is even remotely close to Google. Okay. If you count the number of Amazon devices, you count the number of Apple devices, you count the number of, who else is that there? There's another one. Besides
Microsoft
Cortana, which is they really have products. You count all them up,
and Samsung, they've got Bixby.
Well, yeah, but that's not real because it sucks, and everyone turns it off. And then you compare all those numbers, add them up combined into Google Assistant type numbers, Google Now type numbers, Google type numbers. They're not even close. They're not even remotely close. And raw data enables much more things. The more raw data you have, the easier it is to do these type of artificially real AI quick query, robust transaction queries really fast back. But here's the gimmick. While Google's destroying everybody in the amount of data, what they know is how to get me from A to B quickly. Or the fact that when I, you know, take A to B, I like taking that road. or that I looked up a glucose monitor yesterday kind of thing. But what Amazon has is what people spend money on. Amazon, to me, is poised. They are at the brink of destroying everybody in home assistant technology because they know what people spend money on. And all the directions you give me in the world. And with Bixby, as much as you know, I like to crop this image. Or Apple, as many times as you can give the wrong directions to places, none of them are worth a dime to anybody. I am never paying for navigation again, no matter what anybody says. If Google turns off their nav, I'm never going to pay them for it. Ever, ever. OpenStreetMaps is fine. But when it comes to spending money, Amazon knows how everybody spends money. Everybody who uses an Amazon buys stuff with it, it seems like. So they're going to destroy you because they have direct ratio from research, investment to payoff. Nobody else is doing that. So because of that, I expect 2018 to be Amazon exploding. Whether it's a phone or not, I don't know. I don't think they need a phone, to be honest. I think they have to stick with the home infrastructure thing, and I think they're going to be just fine.
The people I know that have Echo devices and use them have multiple Echo devices and love them. And they would never even consider having a Google Home in their house. There's no reason for them. They're all in on the Amazon everything. They probably have like unlimited music, you know, subscription through Amazon and watching Amazon video all the time, buying, renting off of that. It's okay. I've got the Fire Stick, which I have a voice remote with it. I could order stuff on there with that, and I've got the little dash. It's a small dash thing, not the one that's programmed just to one thing, but you can actually talk to Alexa through it. And I don't use them much. Now, recently the new Google Home advertisements have been somehow linking with Walmart, and I don't know how long this deal lasts, but they're saying if you go to Walmart physically, walk into a Walmart, buy a Google Home Mini for $29, you will get a $25 credit to Walmart, so the Home right. Mini costs you $4. And then you can do all the other stuff with the Home Mini, like play games and listen to music and, you know, use it for just knowledge that you want to, you know, learn how to spell something real quick. All the other little things that the Home does. I think that's a great deal. Easy barrier of entry, as long as you've got a Wi-Fi network in your house. That's probably going to add a few people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the people who I know who are on the Google Home will never buy an Amazon device, period. They will not. Me, I won't buy an Amazon device because I don't need to make it easier to spend money. That's why I will never own an Amazon device. I spend enough money, thank you. I need to slow down.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not speed up. So I'm never going to buy an Amazon device. I don't need Google Assistant because I can tell you now, I have features on my phone in Google Assistant that nobody has on their Google Home. So now it isn't that what can I do on the home that I can't do on my phone. Now I have features on my assistant that no homeowner has, which is I go in, I say, okay, Schmoogle, play news. After it starts to play the news, I can variable speed it up to 2x. Can't do that on Google Home. I don't hear any journalists talking about it. Don't know why. Maybe because they don't want to speak bad about Google Home, but that's the honest to God truth. It can, and it can't do it on Google Home. So I'm fine with that. But if you really want home assistant type technology, you do not need to even spend the $30 on the Google Home and have unbelievably limited function sets. Home-assistant.io. Home-assistant.io is more powerful than any of these devices. You can connect this thing to any smart lock, nearly any smart light, nearly any sensor, nearly any outside service, like if this, then that. It is the most powerful Internet of Things hub appliance there is. You can even put Google Assistant on it. So really, I don't understand why more people ain't doing this. And I will say it's been out for well over a year. If you go to home-assistant.io and look at the compatible features, the plugins they have for it, you will have your socks knocked off. And you could easily get a Raspberry Pi Zero because you don't need a lot of power for this thing. And a little speaker, and you're 90% of the way there. So for less than $8 or so, you can get yourself something functional and usable. Now, if you want it pretty, if you want it in a case, you're going to spend around $20. But these home assistant things, I think, are literally only selling for convenience sake because there is better stuff out there that's not as convenient. You got to make it yourself.
Yeah, a lot of people are not going to do that or can't even, don't even have the...
I know, but this to me is...
put together.
This to me is the perfect opportunity for someone to go to AliExpress, order a little bit of things in bulk, go to your Facebook market page or whatever it's called, and get some money. Because if you tell people you can do Google Home stuff on this, and it costs, you know, a third of the price, you're going to make some sales. And if you set it up right, it's going to work just fine.
There have been some, I think there was a third-party speaker on Sale Real Cheap the other day. And the reason I'm talking about all this hardware on Sale Cheap, because we're right before Christmas when this episode's being recorded. So, of course, everything is cheap right now for the next couple of days. But I can't remember who, I think it was, It was a decent-looking, basically a small Google Home-ish size cube with a clock on the outside of it.
Right. Yeah, these things ain't special. And more we're going to see multi-headed devices where you're going to have one piece of hardware, but it can do Amazon stuff or Google stuff or even, forbid, Microsoft stuff.
Yeah, I've considered purchasing the Amazon Tap, but I have never pulled the trigger. I mean, I'm fine with a, you know, $20 Bluetooth speaker instead of an $80 one.
Okay, yeah, what's the difference between the Tap and the Dot? The Dot's the little short, stubby, like $40 one.
Right. The Tap is battery-powered, rechargeable battery-powered, take it with you.
Gotcha.
I think they quit selling it, though. No, I take that back. They are selling it. It's down to $80, but it's usually like $129, I think, or something like that.
It was a little bit overpriced, I thought. But here's the thing. Me, knowing how to flash an SD card and put it in a Raspberry Pi, the simplicity of that, I look at all these things almost as being overpriced. I mean, for what you get, I mean, you know, none of us seemingly like to listen to really quality audio anymore, no matter what you tell yourself. We all listen to crap audio and we think it's just fine. So it isn't hard to match the quality of most of these devices. Now, the higher end Google Macs, if the Apple thing ever becomes real, or a higher end Sonos device, I'm sure they have better speakers. You paying for them, you know what I mean? That's like a car payment as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the thing about the Google Home Max I did like, if you do have the dough and you want to spend some money, you spend $800 and you can set two of them up and they automatically turn into stereo speakers.
How convenient.
So one will, will automatically be the left and the other one will be the right. And then they set themselves up to your room and all this stuff. So I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, wireless speakers has probably been, you know, kind of a, I don't know. Anybody who's strung wires through their entertainment center room, you know, to have surround sound-ish or whatever.
I know, but am I the only one that gets irate when somebody calls them wireless speakers when clearly there's wires coming out of them?
Well, that's true. There's power that needs to go to
them. Yeah. I mean, now, if you would just say wireless audio delivered speakers or something, which of course no one would ever say, yeah, I mean, that's cool.
I don't know that I've ever gotten mad about that, but you could be the only one.
Oh, I'm anal, Eric. Yeah, figured it out.
All right, Dor. This is an app show.
Oh.
Let's, okay. Unless you have other predictions or disappointments or elations from the last year.
The only predictions I have is we're going to see, again, one or two other companies step up and try to actually compete with Google and iOS. Remix OS, the Jide people, tried really hard. Now, as it turns out, I want to say 90% of their staff now works for Google out of Singapore, the place where they actually did the final revisions of all their Pixel devices and the Pixel book and everything. So they're picking up more talent. There's a reason why the Pixel 2 is as polished as it is. There's a reason why the Pixel book is as polished as it is. Has nothing to do with the western part of the United States. Has to do with Singapore and people like them over there, blood, sweat, and tearing into these devices and putting passion into them. But I do expect some other competition to at least make Google acknowledge them and probably, knowing Google, absorb them again, just like Jide.
That'd be nice. I'm always on the lookout for good hardware and stuff like that. I'm always glad to see when new stuff comes out.
Well, hardware is going to become such a commodity, I believe. And thankfully, I was going to say it like this. If it wasn't for all these phones, crap like SpaceX wouldn't exist, okay? I said it. Elon Musk needs to tip his hat and say thank you, m'lady, to Samsung, to Apple, to Google, to HTC, to LG, to all these phone manufacturers, because they're microing computers so much. Satellites that used to cost $10 plus million literally cost a couple thousand.
Right.
And without that kind of technology, he would not be able to do nearly anything he's doing right now with SpaceX.
And rockets running on computers from the 1970s and 60s won't land themselves back on the pad. Like that's yeah. still one of the great, I tell you, man, that's still one of the greatest things to see is his rockets come back and land 5 minutes after they just pushed a pod into the outer space.
Right. Well, to me, it's weird because when you see it land, it looks like it's, well, yeah, isn't it supposed to? It just looks like it was meant to, like perfectly. Like, yes, of course, why not? But then if you go back and look at one that crashed, oh, okay, I can see. That's not easy.
Oh, man. And it's just those little fins that pop out, you know?
Yeah.
So cool. I just watched they had one last week, and I watched that. And his use of webcams, very, very smart. And just pimp the crap out of all of that. So everybody's just in awe every time you launch. And now he just tweeted a picture yesterday of his Heavy that's got 3 rocket engines on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The big boy. Well, the only thing I really say about Elon Musk is I'm not going to say anything about Elon Musk. What I will say, one thing that seems consistent in this country is people like me, you know, on my dad's side, I'm the 13th generation in this country. Okay. When people say our forefathers wanted this for our country, okay, my forefathers were there. I don't know about you, but my forefathers were literally right there. The people who've been in this country for 13 generations don't do nothing. All we do is breed, have kids, work 9 to 5, pay insurance, watch NFL, watch basketball, stuff. People who are immigrants to this country, like Elon Musk, are people with the desire and the passion to do everything in their power to literally change the world. If it wasn't for immigrants like him, not all immigrants are the same, but if it wasn't for immigrants like him, a lot of things that happened in this country's past, a lot of great things that happened in this country's past would have not happened, including pizza. I'm just saying.
True.
So I'm happy he's here. I'm happy he's doing stuff. I just hope he doesn't take all his money and go back to South Africa when he's done. Because we need his money. We need his jobs. We need his plants. We need his infrastructure. I hope South Africa did something to really piss him off years ago.
It's odd that we're talking about him because on my list of essential apps that I have to have on my phone is one of his. The thing that got him all this money to start.
Oh.
So I will find my chat room and I'm going to put my first app in as PayPal. I'm not a... Yeah, I'm sorry. I put the wrong link in there. I've been using PayPal for a long time, right? I used it with eBay, you know, to begin with. But I think lately I've used PayPal. Oh man, I can't get the PayPal link. Anyway, it's PayPal. I can't get the PayPal link in there. You know what it looks like, what it is. I use it more today than I ever have. I don't know if it's because it's a debit card, but I use Android Pay. And when I put my debit card in it, it said it can't use this card, but you can use PayPal, which I have PayPal set up to go straight to that card. So I'm still using the card in my eyes, you know, and I switched to, well, I'll just bring that too. Another essential app now is Android Pay. You know, like last year I brought an app that I used forever called Keyring, and now Android Pay, you know, sometimes they acquire the company, sometimes they just move forward and steal all the ideas and incorporate it in their own, you know, products. So Keyring was where you keep all your loyalty cards, your fuel saver rewards card, all that stuff. Now that's all in Android Pay. Now, if I walk into my grocery store, my phone will buzz. It'll say, hey, this place takes Android Pay. Don't forget to use your coupon card. Show her your coupon card before, and it brings up the coupon card for that store. Make sure you show her this before you check out so you get your fuel rewards or whatever, your free gallon of milk down the road, whatever it is. So, so Android Pay has come a long way. And so you just don't have to take your wallet out, don't have to take your credit card out. You tap your phone on the credit card machine and type in a PIN number, and then you're done.
Okay, my question is about Android Pay. How do you know when you walk into a place, when you walk into a place, do you already know if it accepts Android Pay? If not, or if it, even if it does, how do you know what places accept Android Pay?
If it has, sometimes they'll say Android Pay, but it also, there's like almost like a sideways Wi-Fi symbol if that's displayed on the checkout, then it does. That symbol, whatever that is. I don't know what it's called. It was like a sideways Wi-Fi. But no, I went to Walmart today, bought some stuff, and I thought I'd try it, and it didn't work. It didn't have that symbol, and it didn't work. So I did have to take my debit card out and slide it and chip it, actually, do the chip thing.
Well, first of all, I'll say I did completely forget that they started recognizing membership badges in Android Pay. I ain't gonna lie, I completely forgot that, because we did have Keyring and all these other apps to keep track of. Well, here is my grocery store member card, here's my pharmacy member card, and all this kind of stuff. And I forgot all about that. But Android Pay doing it is a nice touch. Here's how I know when a place has Android Pay or not. And now, all you need is something like PayPal on your phone, a card on your phone, and NFC. If you have NFC on your device, then you're good to use Android Pay. And I use the MasterCard MasterPass, I believe is the app, where I can open this up at any time and it will display a map of every place that's using MasterPass. The dirty secret is Android Pay is not Android Pay. Android Pay is MasterPass 2.0. It's leveraging the exact same technology that MasterCard, when they had that little dongle you would have in your key ring and touch the gas pump for gas, it's using the exact same wireless technology. So anything that works with MasterCard PayPass will also work with Android Pay. Maybe in the last year, 20% of the places I walk in and I use Android Pay, the people behind the counter have no idea what I'm even doing.
Yeah.
Because there is no little sideways icon on their thing and they don't even know it can even do it. So right. That's how I know.
That's a good tip. I can look that up. And I don't know if it would change where I go shopping, but at this point, but it's nice to have.
Oh yeah, trust me. Me and the wife and the family, we already have our routine pretty much hammered out. There's no changing it. But it's nice to know when we decide to go this week grocery shopping there because she really likes their steaks or something, that I can pull this out and it will still work just fine. Because I actually believe in having these kinds of the services hooked up to multiple sources. And here's what I mean by that. From PayPal, you can easily get a card with credit card numbers on it. Even though it's a debit card, it can be used as a credit card. That's the card I like to use for one reason alone. If that card gets exploited, they're not hitting my real bank account. They're just hitting the money that's available in the PayPal account. So to me, it's almost like I don't want to say a security feature, but I don't have to worry as much about getting my card compromised and them taking out my complete bank account when I use that.
And when I switched over from, so what I did is I loaded Keyring up on a desktop computer. And I said, show me all my, kind of went through all my cards. And you can click on each one of your cards. Keyring, maybe if you're listening, maybe you might want to disable this as people mass exodus your service because of this. But they'll show the barcode of each one on a computer screen. With Android Pay, you just hold your phone up to it. It'll see that barcode like it's scanning the actual physical barcode off of your Keyring plastic piece on your actual key. It'll scan that and just add it. That easily. So just go right down the list, hold your phone up to your screen. It takes a picture and adds it to your accounts. Super, super simple. Took just a couple minutes to transfer, I don't know, like 20 loyalty cards.
Wow, that's nice. Very cool. Do you want to go with another essential or you want me to pick one?
It's up to you. I can keep going. I can tell that I'm all in on the Google, you know? So my next one is going to be opinion rewards. Just if you have an Android phone and you don't mind answering a couple questions, because they know anyway, this is a way to get some free apps because you're going to earn money and you can spend it in the Play Store, basically. And actually, this year, I used it for something other than apps. I bought storage on my Google Drive. I upped it to 100 gigs by using money that I had made on Google Opinion Rewards.
Yeah, and you say they already know. Here's the dirty secret. They not only know, but they occasionally ask you questions to see if you lie. And if you lie, you actually are temporarily blacklisted and won't get asked again stuff. So if they know you went to Hardee's and then you say two days ago that you didn't go to Hardee's, but you went to, Popeye's, and they ask you if you went to Popeyes and you say yes, they're going to think either you're senile, so we can't trust their answers, or they're lying because they think they're going to get more money. So just be careful how you answer these questions, because like Eric said, they already know. They're just looking for confirmation.
You know, I don't get asked questions like I used to. And I know when you get a new phone, if you're a new Google user of a new phone, you'll get a lot. You'll get up to $2-3 real soon. I'm lucky if I get a question once every 2 weeks anymore, though. And I didn't lie. I don't know. I don't get asked that much. But I don't go to malls, and I don't go to, you know, shopping centers and places like that where they have an interest.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's a twofold thing. There's only so many questions they can ask you until why keep asking you the same question. But once they have asked you enough questions, they then have you slipped into a category. And the question is this a category that a vendor wants to know specific information about? If you're a older white male, you're not going to get asked a lot of questions because you're an older white male. If you're something else, you'll probably have a higher one. If you're a young Latino woman, for instance, you'll probably get asked many more questions. But also, it is where you go. If you always go to the same 15 places in a month and just those 15 places, expect them to ask you very, very little questions. And I agree. Sometimes I get one question every 2 weeks. Sometimes I get like one every couple days, but it's definitely slowed down. But every time I go like on a new thing, whether it's I'm going to go see my aunt up in Westminster, so I'm going to go there and I'm going to stop at a couple places and wait for gas for the kids, then all of a sudden I get more questions.
Yeah. Do you I know there's a similar thing where you can earn points in Google Maps. Will they ask you questions about places you visited, ask you if the parking's free, if they have handicap accessibility. And it's always a yes, no, or I don't know question usually. You know, there are some times where they'll ask you for a review, but, you know, that's an actual written review, but they're not given, you know, they're not paying you. So they don't really expect you to give that kind of work out for nothing.
Yeah, when you do those kind of things, you earn levels as being a local guide, what it is.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm a level 5 local guide with 1,170 points. So yes, I do answer questions. I answer questions about how my drive was, how parking was. I answer questions about, is this place good for vegans? The answer is always no, because I don't want them there. But then they ask, you know, does this place accept cash? Does it have a salad bar? Is it handicap accessible? And I freely answer all those kinds of questions. And I know all I'm doing is feeding money to Google. And if it means other people, especially when they ask about things like accessibility, if those people have a better experience using Google, I'm fine with giving them information. If I've said this on a couple shows here recently in the last couple months, but not here, I don't think. Door-to-Door Geek is first and always about the upliftment of humanity. Number one, not people, not white people, not liberals, not Democrats, not conservative, not Republican, not Marylanders, not this. No, humans first. And people who need accessibility get nothing from anybody. So I think I got to try to do at least a little bit better.
Yeah. Funny, we were talking about this and this, you know, I said, well, they know. Well, I got a Google Opinions reward notification just now. So if you haven't heard of it and you're not used to it, so the question they're asking is, which of these insurance companies have you heard of? Geico, Allstate, JGB Insurance, and State Farm. So check all answers that apply. So I'm going to check all of them except for JGB Insurance because I've never heard of that. I hit submit and a little spinny thing spins around and then it's like a slot machine of money and it gave me 10 cents for that.
Right.
And it says, thank you. Yeah. Google, 10 cents worth of Google Play credits earned, your credits will expire a year from now.
Right. And yes, it's only 10 cents, but there's also times you don't get any money. They just ask you one question, you answer, thank you, and that's it.
Yeah, it's odd.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good what it is, but don't expect it to buy you a steak dinner.
Right. Did you want me to finish up with my apps and then you do yours?
Your call. You're the manager.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'll just bring these three more quick ones. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, like I've been bringing these same apps for a long time. This one is called Zedge, ringtones.
Oh, yeah.
And wallpapers. If there's a ringtone that you heard somebody have and you don't know where they got it and you don't know what kind of phone that was installed on, this is the place for ringtones and notification sounds and If there's a certain movie or band you like, they're going to have a ringtone for you for them, or, you know, for that. I always download the Idiocracy, The Times Are Changing, I don't know, the Idiocracy song from inside the movie. Not like a theme song or nothing.
It's Nuevos something, which means new time or something like
that. Yeah, yeah, Nuevos Tiempos, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's my go-to ringtone.
Yeah.
I don't get a whole lot of the wallpapers from there or anything like that, just ringtones and notifications. I like a nice soft notification. I don't like things that scream at me.
Right, yeah. I'll just say I kind of know that ringtone you're talking about, Eric. Because that's my ringtone always. yeah. To me, here's the real gimmick about Zedge. It's convenient. It's easy to get anything you're looking for. Anything you can think of, pretty much, ever, you can find it. But most importantly, it's a safe portal. If you go there and search for ringtones, you don't have to worry about shady websites. You don't have to worry about shady applications. You don't have to worry about it doing anything shady to your phone. You launch the app. You search in the app. You click it. You preview it. You like it. You click download. You like it and you want to set it. You click the set button and then it asks you, what do you want to send it as? A ringtone, a notification, or a personal ringtone kind of thing. And you're done. It's that easy.
You will see some ads. Be warned.
I see ads when I'm trying to leave the app. It's like hit back button, hit back button. Yeah. There's an ad. And I just hit it again and I'm done.
Yeah. If you zoomed in, if you were cruising around looking at, you know, listening to different ringtones, you hit play on one, you go back to go to the app menu, that's when you get an ad. So it's not like in your face right away, but they'll be there when you go back to the main menu. The next one is probably one Dor's going to bring. He uses it probably more than me. So I'm shameless, so I'll steal his app. And I think we probably have been using this app for 7+ years. It's called Voxer Walkie Talkie. Voxer Walkie Talkie Messenger. This app is basically, it's almost like CB radio back in the day. You and your friends start up a channel and you can text, type, speak, send pictures, send GIFs, just communicate with people who you want to communicate without it being Facebook, where it's not like a post wall or a personal message and anything like that. It can be personal messages back and forth between one or two people too. But it's just kind of your own little area though. It's not out there for the world.
Yeah. Okay. First off, apologize for geeking out. Unlike other Android shows where they don't even know what DuckDuckGo is, I hope we have a more intelligent audience. Okay. But this still might be over your head because this is nerd. Okay. Voxer started as a proof of concept for a technology called Node.js. Node.js is a ecosystem of code repositories and applications used to create infrastructure for bi-directional communications. Okay, that's what Node.js is. It's its own infrastructure to where people can build off of for quick bi-directional applications. Perfect example, Voxer. Voxer, you can real-time communicate in a room with 20 people in 20 different parts of the world, literally in real-time. We've tried countless other voice messaging services. When I hit the record button and I say a message and I hit end, sometimes it took 30 seconds for those other applications to even recognize there was a new message. With Voxer, I don't care if we're all at a conference or we're across the world. It literally takes a split second for that other device, if it's on a proper network, to immediately notify you that there's a message. And if it's more than 10, 20 seconds, if you immediately respond to that message, you can actually hear it as it's being live broadcast to your phone. Okay? Nobody else can do that. All the other messengers suck. With that said, Voxer is flawed. It is not perfect. It will act funny. It will act weird. It will act wonky. It ain't perfect, but it is the best damn thing out there, period. Okay? We've been in conferences where somebody would literally just hit 1 second and literally a split second later, 30 phones would go off. Yeah. Because that's how quick it is. The best thing about Voxer is you can force close the app and ignore it for an entire day. And then when you're ready to get back into it, you can open the app up and you can see you missed 10, 20, or 500 plus messages. open up the conversation, scroll back through time, and listen to them all in the correct order, and you're caught right up. So not only is it voice, but it's recorded voice when you can go back and listen to it at your leisure. So you can be in an important meeting, and two people in this group can have a great back and forth conversation. And then after your meeting, you can catch up on it, and you can give your own comments after that. So nothing is as easy, quick, ubiquitous, and the fact that it's not owned by a big company that I can find is nothing's better than Voxer. And we've used it, I don't even know how many years. I know we've had Pro now for 4 years, and we used it for at least a year or two before that.
It's amazing that for all the things it does, that the entire world hasn't adopted it. I'm not sure. I mean, it is buggy. Maybe that's why. It just seems like it's the most fluid conversation. I mean, way to go with your family and your friends and everything. There's so many things you can easily do with it.
Every other application like this is either one of two things, Eric. 10 times buggier or 10 times slower. Okay. Nothing gets close to being both stable and quick as Voxer. I'll say that. Bar none. Nothing. I've tried them all with multitudes of people. They all are either incredibly slow, or sometimes I gotta wait a minute, full minute, for a message to even appear in my box, or they're even buggier kind of thing. Like, how can you only allow a 30-second message? What the hell is wrong with you, app developer? Is your back-end infrastructure that weak? Are you using such a heavy codec that you can't allow? Voxer, I've literally received 15-minute Voxers. They're basically personal podcasts to me. You can't beat that. You know, I mean, it just works nearly perfect, minus the incredible bugginess.
Yeah, and we were using this over 3G back in the day. You know, it was, and it worked. We were just fine with it, you know. And for longtime listeners, somehow, I don't remember how, or Sean Dirty Thumbs Johnson got a T-shirt out of them too, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Right now it says they have between 10 million and 50 million installs. If that doesn't prove to you this is worth your time and effort and playing around with, I don't know what will. But at the same token, I understand there's nothing more difficult in this universe than convincing your friends or family to use a different messaging service.
Yeah.
Fully agree with that. I simply told my wife and kids this. Don't send me a text message. I won't answer. I don't care if it's an emergency. I'm not going to answer. I'm not a 14-year-old girl.
That's one way to do it. Give it a try. You know, I should do that too. I should. My family doesn't text me very much anyway, though. So speaking of getting people into a different service, my last one is, and this is a hot button issue where a lot of people, half the people probably aren't going to. Oh, also about Voxer. Last updated yesterday. So they're still going. They're working at it. So my last one is Google Plus.
What?
Well, there's not
a lot. Why would you do Google Plus? It's dead, isn't it? Every single journalist out there says it's dead. Why would you possibly suggest something like this, Eric?
Yeah, because if you want a news social media feed that's catered to what you like and not what other people want you to see, this is a good one. If you also like it, things to go in chronological order instead of when you open up something, you do a search, for instance, and things just come from like 2 weeks ago, yesterday, an hour ago, 3 days ago, and not in any, they make no sense to you, but to some algorithm or somebody. I still don't understand Facebook. I don't understand how people can put up with it. This is for you.
Okay, Eric. I'll just put it like this. No matter who you are, the last presidential election proved one thing to you. Half of this country is stupid. I'm just going to say that. Facebook thrives on that kind of activity. Literally thrives, like a person from NAMBLA at a kindergarten conference kind of thing. It's bad. It's nasty. It's ugly. Google Plus, there's no elected people I know on Google Plus. I'm just going to say that. There is very little grandparents who won't stop showing you pictures of their grandkid who's actually not attractive. I don't see any of that on Google Plus. People from my childhood, people I went to school with, I look around. They don't exist on Google Plus.
Right.
What exists on Google Plus are people I would love to sit down and have a beer with. People I have sat down and had a beer with. People I find interesting. Institutions I like and enjoy browsing their product. I mean, the closest thing to a journalist type figure I follow on Google Plus is Aaron Newcomb, who really isn't a journalist whatsoever. He's a hacker. He is a hacker of hackers. And once in a while he posts something, sometimes it's personal. And I don't mind it, because when he puts up something that's hackery, it's friggin' awesome. And that's what I experience on Google Plus. Also, I don't like roller coasters of activity on Facebook or Twitter. It's like you need to be on Valium in order to digest it all. On Facebook, you don't. You follow who you want to follow. You block who you want to block. And then you have a nice, easy, lazy river of content that you can
Google
easily.
Plus. You said Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. On Google Plus. And then you can easily just check in when you feel like it. If it's been a day, you scroll back just a little bit. And while you're caught up, get it. There, you know, nothing crazy important happened. And oh yeah, look, there's a net new neutrality posting. Oh, but right beneath it, there's a picture of a cat. Everything's better in the universe. And you don't have to worry about people spitting arguments about politicians, sexism, racism, religiousism, or anything else, at least me on Google Plus. And I heard journalists complain about getting porn stuff in the comments of their posting. I'm very happy to say, not me. Not anybody I've seen, except for journalists. So good on you, porn people, for targeting journalists. I salute you. Good job. Take them down. Down.
Yeah. I think at one time, Google Plus and Facebook, it might have been a coin flip, which one was going to be the no. social media. It didn't. I mean, Facebook won that yeah. battle. Good. They all went there.
Yeah. I mean, I knew there's no chance Google would win. I never wanted Google to win. I wanted Google to like scrape off the top layer of all the good tasty bits and bring them over to Google Plus and leave the sloth of screaming arguments and justice warriors and racist Nazis and everything else and just leave them on Facebook where they're nice and comfy. Bring over the smarter people.
One thing I've never found on Google Plus though is where it says, hey, your post got liked by 300 people this week. Keep up the good work. I don't want it yeah. to I don't want it to be work.
Yeah.
And that's Facebook, it they really want you to work at it and make it your job to keep it moving and post every 2 days to keep your numbers up. And oh man, I put that picture that I put over there that other time, remember from last week? That's blowing up right now. Oh, my post is blowing up, Dor.
Congratulations, I guess. But here to me is the real thing. Facebook is only making money from Facebook, which means it's all or nothing. They live or die by the sword. They live or die by their success on how much they can algorithmically keep people on their network and make people click more things. Google Plus, there's no way that's their prime income source. We all know that.
Right.
So it's closer to being a hobby thing, which means it's going to be less of pushing you towards things and more to letting you discover. Now, the only downside is your feed is what you decide it to be. If you don't once in a while go in and add people and you don't once in a while go in and block people, there's no excuse for, well, I got this crap in my feed. Oh, I wonder why. Maybe because you added Jacob John Smith, who happened to like Nazi stuff. So maybe you should either stop following Jacob John Smith, or when he pluses Nazi stuff, you click on that profile, that Nazi-like post, and you click block. And then guess what? Problem solved. I mean, nothing's free. Everything takes a little bit of work. Even maintaining your own social media feed. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think this is? 2019? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so that's my wrap-up of all of the Google apps. I mean, essential apps on my phone. At this point, I kind of feel like it. My last one would be the Project Fi app, which isn't relevant to most people, just because it is a really nice and easy way for me to manage my account. But I think I had a lot of Google-centric stuff. But you know what? My phone is a Google phone. I'm in that universe. If, you know, at some point, I might just bail. So if one day you don't hear from me anymore, I burnt all of them. And I got freaked out too much by something that Google heard me do or answered a question I didn't want the answer to or something.
Right. Well, I'll say this. If you have a Google phone and you're not all in Google, guess what? You are. You just don't know it. And there's been many studies in the last year of people who say, you know, me and my wife had this conversation and then the next day I saw an ad for it. That phone's listening to me. That, again, is a cognitive bias. We're just what you fail to remember is the 5 billion other things you talked about that year that never surfaced once in Google. It's easy to remember the one false positive. You don't remember the false negatives that happened. So if you think your phone's listening to you because it surfaced something seemingly randomly or to you that you perceive as being randomly, try to just stop for a second and remember the 5 billion things you talked about in the last year that did not get surfaced.
Or you perceive it as random, but you know, and it really could be, you know, tied into the other 8 things that you searched for somehow that the computer, the algorithm says, oh, you're going to be interested in this. Let me throw you this. And you just happen to be, yeah, well, I was interested in that. I was talking to my wife about it, but I never did Google it.
Right. Like it might turn out Subaru owners who also own pickup trucks and happen to like Kentucky Fried Chicken also have an extreme liking of custom shotgun glasses. I don't know. You know what I mean? There's all these kind of links that can be made that we don't even perceive. So, yeah. The first app I have to mention as a must install is a dual mention. It really is a shout out to Caleb Fultz. I can't thank him enough. Podnuts in your pocket. Download it, put it on your device. We're working on a automated notification system whenever one of the shows goes live. Right now, there's only like 4 shows on the network that are streamed live as they're done. Android App Addicts is one of them. Yes, you can go to twitter.com/podnuts, subscribe to us there, and you'll see whenever we go live, or you can subscribe to me on Google+, and you'll see the notification go live there, or even on Facebook. Yeah, because I use Hootsuite, and the only time I ever connect to Facebook is when I tell Hootsuite post Facebook. And that's what we did, the other place where we say that the show goes live. But Podnuts in Your Pocket is the only place where you can have also instant access to all the notes of all the shows. Maybe the most underutilized thing in podcast are the notes. So if you want to hook up with us, catch all of our notes, get some notification of stuff, Podnuts in Your Pocket. Easy, easy way.
And our notes is an extremely easy way to see the apps that we talked about. Like you were listening to it on the way to work in the car, and you're like, oh, that what was that app I heard about? You know, on the way, there was one I wanted to check out. Just pull it up. You'll see the apps that we talked about right in there, and click the link, and then go ahead and install it. That's people have been asking for us to repeat the apps at the end of the show. Find easier ways to see the apps that we talked about over the week, because sometimes we're not the best, you know, at describing what the app is, because sometimes it's hard to describe, you know, an app, but we try. And this way you can go check them out in the Play Store yourself, watch the video, install, check it out, whatever you want to do. I do think that that's going to be a great feature of this.
So, yeah.
What's your next one, Dor?
The next app I want to bring, it's called Fast Burst Camera. I'm not a camera guy. Whatsoever, but I love this app. With this app, you can easily load up the camera app, basically click and hold the button, and depending on your camera, it can literally take like easily 60 pictures in a second. So oftentimes there are fast-paced images, picture opportunities that it's really hard to catch. And like what I do is I literally hold my camera up, and right when I'm telling my kids say cheese, I already start to hold the button down. And then I just say cheese, and I keep holding it down, smile, hold it down, and then let it go. And then like, you know, 30 seconds later or so, everything that got cached in the RAM gets put onto the disk as an actual picture. Then I just scroll back and I find which one I like, and I pull it out and I keep that one picture. Or when I'm at like a amusement park, and I know they're going to be coming around in a second, before they come, I hold down the button, and I start taking pictures. Then I just easily edit that stack, delete everything before this picture, then scroll, delete everything after this picture. And I might have 20, 30 pictures and say, make a GIF, send it to the wife. And then she has a little animated movie of actually good pictures, which it didn't take any talent at all because I got no talent. So I love Fast Burst Camera. Right now, I will say, unfortunately, it is $3.72. They do have a light version in the store. What I will do is I will link to that in the notes. That one is free to try, so you can witness it firsthand, see if you like it. I just think it's a great little handy app. Can really show you just how fast your phone can take pictures.
Yeah, it's good. I found out on my Pixel 2 it has that built in. I found that out today because I remember I brought that motion photo app that makes it look good. I thought that was built into this phone, but I haven't figured out how to activate it. So I thought, well, maybe if I just hold down on the power on the shutter button, but it just started like a super fast, machine gun of photos. I'm like, no, that's not exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah, I will say it's a good feature to have. Having it built in is only better, is what I want to say. The next thing I'm going to bring is actually a game, Eric.
Yay.
And I'll say it's a game I actually brought a long time ago. And the reason I'm bringing it again is because it, to me, is the perfect, you got a couple minutes to spare type game, and it's a Horizon Chase World Tour.
Yes.
To me, this is very reminiscent of late 80s or so race car type games. It's from behind the car view. You do have nitros. You do have turbos. Your goal is, by the end of the race, get at least the top three in each circuit or each area, which is typically three or four tracks. If you get high enough level, you can even unlock a car. So it does have replay value. You are incentivized to go back and try to do a little bit better in this game. And it is the kind of thing that when you've done track A, like in San Francisco, enough times, then you realize, okay, here is where I should hit my nitro boost. I only have three of them. This is a five-lap race. First two laps, no nitros. Let me see how far I can get on the first two laps. Then starting the third, fourth, and fifth lap, I'll use one nitro each lap. So it to be honest, was that kind of experience that I honestly just found fun, redeemable, and replayable. I still, every week, play it for at least like 5 minutes. It's just one of those games that just I keep going back to.
Yeah, it's a great game. Notice I didn't bring a game. I would have, but you guys banished me from it, so I didn't bring it.
I didn't banish you from it. I just worry about your well-being.
No, that's cool. I didn't bring it. It's not installed, just for those who are checking. This, Dore likes his old retro games. This isn't as retro as most of his stuff. This is like what you used to pay the big money for at the arcade, if you could even get on that machine, because it was the coolest one in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. It's a weird hybrid, because it reminds me of the old game on the Super Nintendo called Top Gear, I believe is what it was called. It's very much like that. Slightly higher view, because in that game, Top Gear, you are basically directly behind the car, virtually. This one, you're definitely up higher. And it looks much better than that game, but it's functionally unbelievably like that game. So it has that itch getting scratched still, but looks much, much better.
It's incredibly fun, too.
Oh, yeah. Next one I'm going to bring to me is also a absolute I have to have no matter what. It has to be installed on my phone. We used to use, I want to say it was called Screen Light. Back in the day, and it just got deprecated to the point to where they just stopped updating it. And after 3+ years of not getting updated, I had to move to something else. So I now use Kin Screen, KinScreen. And with a in-app purchase, which I want to say was like $3 maybe at the most, $3.99 looks like the maximum that you pay. What this basically does is, you can set different types of rule sets for your screen to never turn off. So what I have is anytime my phone is unlocked and it's at almost any angle, I want to say greater than 10 degrees, my phone will not lock. No matter what, it will not lock. And I like it that way. There's certain things I'm doing, like even sometimes I'm just loading a web page and I'm holding it. And maybe the web page is going slow. Or maybe I'm having to load my own cloud server, or maybe I'm doing whatever, and it's just taking more than the normal 10-15 second timeout. Instead of increasing my timeout, how about making it infinite as long as I'm holding the phone like this? And then when I put my phone down flat, it turns off in 5 seconds. You know what I mean? So I love this app. I abuse this app. It is the must install on any platform I can install an Android app on, period.
I hear your use case. I mean, I don't set my phone flat on, when it's parked, when I'm not using it, it's not flat. I rarely ever, I guess I have it laying flat right now.
But. Well, or if it's vertical, it goes off too.
Is that how your holder is in your car vertical or
at work? Well, I don't have a holder in my car because I'm stupid and use Android Auto, which is sucky. It's horrible, but I can't stop using it. Most of the time, it's a breast pocket or my inside jacket pocket where it's pretty vertical.
I would have to say, for those who don't have Android Auto and use your car, if you haven't looked into the holders that go into your CD slot, I swear by them. If I have a go-to hardware accessory, it's the CD slot phone holder of grip type or magnet, either one, depending on if you have a case or how you want to set that up.
Gotcha. Well, in essence of time, because we are already going long, the other thing I will say that I absolutely have to mention, if I don't, I'm pretty sure somebody's going to come after me, because I need to mention things I actually used. It means I have to mention Podcast Addict. Podcast Addict, I'll just put it like this. It's met, achieved, and surpassed everything I ever expected in any podcast player, period. Now, I demand a lot, okay? I'm not stupid. I know that. I subscribe to 139 podcasts. Right now, literally 139 podcasts. That's insane. But that's what I'm doing right now. 139 different podcasts. And when I go to the player, let's take a look at the podcast stats. Podcast stats says, today, listen to 16 hours and 59 minutes. Yesterday, 16 hours and 48 minutes. Wow, that's scary. This week, 3 days and 21 hours. Last week, 5 days and 2 hours. In the month of December already, 14 days worth. In November, 20 days worth of content. So yes, I must install this. And one of the reasons I must install this and not install any other podcast player is nearly none of them can handle the amount of shows I have or the variable speed playback. I'm up to 3.5 on most of my stuff now. and most of them, either when I go to do an update, I say refresh, will take over 2 hours to refresh because they're that damn slow. Or two, I push it up to 3.5 and it literally is like, choking trying to play the audio. And it's on the same device where Podcast Addict just works fine. So, and it keeps getting updated too. So right now it is going to take something monumental to take me away from Podcast Addict, period. And if you like Podcast Addict and you bought it and it's been over a year, I really do highly encourage you, patreon.com/podcastaddict, support the guy. He's putting one of the best podcast players out there. Notice I'm not going to say it's the best because I'm not cocky and arrogant. It's just one of the best. That I'm damn sure of. So if you like it, if you even want to entertain a change, check it out. Go into the settings, deep settings, unbelievably deep settings. Check them out. I'm pretty sure you're going to be sold.
Yeah, Podcast Addict has been a staple of mine. I don't know how I left that off my list, but I'm glad you remembered to bring it. It's just we've been using Podcast Addict since they had a needle for a logo. Thank you, Xavier, for changing that one.
Indeed. You ready to close up shop?
Sure. I will review these apps. So we've got Speech Notes, HomeAssistant.io, PayPal, Android Pay, MasterPass, Opinion Reward, Google Opinion Rewards, Zedge, Google Plus, Project Fi, Voxer, Podnuts in Your Pocket, Fast Burst Camera, Horizon Chase World Tour, Kinscreen, and Podcast Addict. I didn't count how many that was. So a couple.
A lot.
16, I think. 15, 16, something like that.
Gotcha.
Well, I hope those who are listening, still heard about an app or two that they hadn't heard before. We're pretty sure you'll love all of these apps, though. I'm sorry that I brought so many Google apps. Maybe people just don't know about them, though. It seems like, I don't know.
Well, to me, the biggest problem with Google apps is people try them, they decide they don't like them, they never go back and revisit them because they really do get a lot better over time.
Yeah.
Except for Google Duo, which I believe week one I said wouldn't go anywhere, and I'm pretty sure we're in like week 30, and it still ain't gone anywhere. Just saying.
Google Wave. They do have that thing where they do give up on some things sometimes too.
Well, or it's just, why are you even trying this? And anybody who couldn't see Google Duo was pointless day one, it amazes me. Because Google either has to force everybody to use it where nobody's going to use it when something perfectly good exists and usable, like Hangouts.
Yeah, they did add, in my dialer anyway, a video button now, which I believe is Duo, but I don't know. I've never tried it.
It is. It is, but if you notice, in all your phone calls, no one's ever hit it. Well, because nobody else has a Pixel. But
I think everybody in my house could use it. I should just surprise them with it sometime. I just haven't.
You can try it, and then you'll look like one of them Apple turtleneck-wearing FaceTimers. I thought you wore ties, not turtlenecks, Eric. Just saying.
True. Yeah. Maybe that's Google ties, Apple turtlenecks. All right. Well, I hope you guys like the show. We will come back with some new apps that aren't from the attic next week, and also probably some voicemails and emails. Please send those in, and your app suggestions. If once you do get on Google Plus, check us out there. I'm Silicon Wrench, I think, in Google Plus, I'm Eric Ardini. We've also got a couple Android App Addicts pages on Google Plus. One of them is an exclusive club, and the other one is another more open club, I guess. Is it still an exclusive club? I don't know.
Sure. If you join us on Google Plus, you'll have the good luck to have engagements possible in engagements with really nice people like Richard Quirin, Ivan, Steven, Todd. There's a bunch.
I'll put
it that way. Ivor. Did I say Ivor?
You said Ivan. Ivan.
Damn it. That's all right. I never say his
name. I knew who you were talking about.
Sorry, Ivor. But there's a bunch of really nice people on there who share really interesting, good apps. Trust me, I do pull from them more than once. I pull from them. They bring some really good stuff, and they're really nice people. So even if you don't want to communicate with me or Eric, you can go there and communicate with other people and share your loves of apps.
Yeah, they help out a lot. And if you have a cool app and you don't want to email it to us, that's a great way to share it with us. The email will guarantee you getting on the show, though.
Well, yeah, if you want to email us, it's aaa@podnuts.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, it's 7076-PODNUT.
All right. Well, maybe we'll have Mark with us next week. Thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
This is Martin from PodNuts Pro. Thank you so much for choosing this podcast to be in your ears right now. Don't forget to support all the other PodNuts shows on the PodNuts Network, and we cannot do this without you. So please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us at podnutspro@podnuts.com.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.